Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Oh, it's a good morning indeed. Hello, friends. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacy Ann. It's October 1st. You know what that means? 2 hours. We get to hang out 2 hours now together this morning, and I'm so delighted at that. I'm a little nervous, I have to be honest. My whole life, and my parents can attest to this, and I know they're listening this morning, I don't have any problem talking. Not a problem at all, but trying to make sure that we have stuff here that you want to listen to that continue to bring encouragement, educate, engage, empower each of us to be effective in our day-to-day lives, and certainly keeping our eyes focused on things that can produce good things in our life, right? Good fruit in our life, rather than just constantly bringing up all the negative around us, which there's plenty, right? But what can we do about it? And that's really my heart and my goal. And when we launched this program the 1st of March, even when we were talking about in the middle of February, okay, what's this going to look like? And we really just, it was like, I don't know. I just know that we need to pull the community together. We need to be a light in the community. We need to keep information in front of people and find ways that we can get engaged. And all of that has been happening. And my network of people and moving back in January and knowing some people, knowing about Salem because I lived here, it has been such an amazing gift and such an incredible experience meeting all of you. Networking with the business owners that I have, having you come in and share your stories of what's going on in your life and the overcoming of obstacles. And then the pandemic hit, and then the fires. I mean, it's just been such an incredible time that it just seemed like it was right as we move towards the election that we move to 2 hours and we get more folks engaged and we find out more of what's going on in such amazing community that we live in, Willamette Valley, that's impacting not just Oregon, not just the United States, but the world. There are things going on right now, right here in Salem. Seeds being planted, ideas being birthed, new business opportunities, reset, refocus, all of that going on. And we are better together when we can support and encourage and empower one another. And what an opportunity that we've been given here. And certainly I am not taking it for granted that at this time, this microphone is open to me to network and bring good to our community, and I'm excited about that, and I'm privileged, and I'm very thankful to the Wyatt family and to those that are helping, like Phil, our engineer, who has to get up super early, make sure that we're on the air and everything's running well. Thank you, Phil, for your help. And so we're launching 2 hours today, and part of that is because I want to talk more to you all. I want to get you all engaged in the conversation, and I know sometimes we have so much content, we don't even get to the phone line. So my hope is to get you more engaged, and the second hour and the intent of that is to open up the phone lines and get you more engaged and get more information to you. And today is going to be a full day. Yep, both hours are going to be full of guests and interaction, and I'm excited about that. And so let's get to some of the headlines, though. There are some things that are going on. I think there are points of discussion, and I have a little insight, maybe some opinions that I wanted to share with you. And I do think it's interesting the U.S. Marshals announced it will not cancel the cross-deputation of local and state law enforcement officers in Oregon. You know, over the weekend, because of the potential conflict between a group called the Proud Boys and then the BLM folks in Portland, they were deputized, the law enforcement. Well, Mayor Wheeler's like, nope, we don't need that anymore. Thank you very much. And the U.S. Marshal's saying, nope, we're going to keep it in there. And it's interesting because when I watched the news this morning, I didn't see anything in the news last night in the headlines of riots in Portland. Do you suppose because any action that they take against law enforcement or destruction of the community now it's a federal offense? That's a little incentive and motive. They're not going to be able to just be released, hand slapped and released again to go and do it again. And so interesting things happening in Portland, and certainly a point of prayer. We continue to pray that will all be settled down and we can move on to better things and rebuild that community. I did see a headline last night. I thought it was pretty cool. Several community leaders, several folks grabbed trash bags and they went through that downtown area. There was a whole group of people that went and cleaned up, and they got lots of garbage. They're looking at ways to get rid of the graffiti, and that's what I'm talking about. Let's pull together as communities and let's go retake back our towns, our cities, and get involved. I'm pretty excited about that. And then we're also hearing that families are getting very frustrated with the education process and the public schools and trying to educate from home. And there are a lot of coalitions being built together, and there's some things happening in the community. I'll have a little more information about that tomorrow. But if you're a parent out there, a grandparent, and you're trying to help your kids and your grandkids, you know, stay tuned. And I encourage you to keep letting your elected leaders. Right now, we're in election. I understand that. But let your elected leaders know how's it going for you? How's it going for your kids and your grandkids? Let the school boards know. Let your county and your commission, let everybody that you know that makes decisions for you where you live, let them know how it's going for you. I think that's so extremely important. I want to give a shout out to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group here in Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you. For being a morning sponsor. Thank you so much, Dave and Paige Smith. Give them a call if you have any real estate needs, 503-939-7099. In an effort to bring encouragement and engage you this morning with information that you can use, I'm excited to introduce someone to you. You may or may not know him. I'm just getting to know him, but he is the director. His name's Samuel, and I'm going to make sure I say this right. Is it Matthias. Samuel Matthias is the director and CEO of Youth with a Mission here in Salem, Oregon. Now, I'm on Facebook, and I do a lot of networking through Facebook, and a sponsored ad had come through. And it was riveting to me because it was a training. It was like an online training seminar on how you can be effective right now in this culture, right now with everything going on. I'm like, wow, this is great. And this is based out of Salem. I need to know more. And then as I dug it, I'm like, oh, Youth with a Mission, of course. And so I sent a little message via Facebook, you know, Messenger. And I said, oh, I'd love to find out more. And I have a radio program. And what can we do? And so this is how Samuel's here today. So talk to us a little bit about, good morning, first of all.
Good morning, Stacey. It's good to be here.
Thank you for being here. Talk to us a little bit about the history of YWAM, Youth with a Mission, here in the Willamette Valley.
Yeah, so in 1978, entrepreneur, educator, by now a good friend of mine, Dwayne Rollins, was looking for a property to really do crusade-type stuff. Mm-hmm. And when he drove on our property on Battle Creek, he felt this needs to be a Youth with a Mission campus. Now, his daughter and son-in-law had been in Youth with a Mission and down in the LA area. Mm-hmm. And so he purchased it, and they came up in 1978 to pioneer this ministry. And so for over 40 years now, we have been serving the Willamette Valley, but out of here, of course, launching missionaries to the ends of the world.
That's amazing to me, because when I think about that, 1978, they moved up from California. My family moved up from California in 1979.
Okay.
So that gives me perspective. You know, I moved in 79, I was 10. So it gives me perspective of the years and the building and the impact. And I remember in high school, and again, this gives me some insight too of what they would do, and they'd have outreaches and things, and I would go with friends, and I was so impressed with it. And then over the years, those seeds were planted for me as I moved on through South Dakota and Arkansas. I know there's different bases, and really you launch and equip people. Talk to me about your mission of YWAM in general.
Yeah, we just want to know God and make Him known.
Yes.
You know, that's really just the short of it. Equip people to make an impact, to be transformed by God in their personal lives, put a good character foundation in. I think especially with today's youth, that's just becoming more and more important.
Mm-hmm.
In a live, learn environment, we need community. And so, and then we want to give you tools to equip you to make a difference wherever you are at, and really go back. For many, most of our alumni go back into the spheres of society, just like you did. You know, you come through, but your calling may not be to be a full-time missionary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people, whether it's starting businesses, whether it's going back to the workforce, education, science and technology, wherever it might be, you know, we want you to know why you do what you do and then get good at that.
The beautiful thing about my upbringing and how I was introduced to the Lord and my Christian faith is I was taught through American Missionary Fellowship, the little church that I went to, is that we're missionaries every day, no matter where we're planted in the world. It could be right here in the U.S., but I remember going through my Christian education, my college education, and I remember hearing at one point in the near future, we've been sending out missionaries to other countries, but at some point, other countries will send missionaries back to the United States. And I think we're at that point. Talk to us a little bit about how you got here and fill me in on all of that.
Right. So the accent is German. Mm-hmm. I'm born and raised in Germany. Started with YOM there in 2004. And then I came here in 2005 to do a 6 months training. And part of that training took me to Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. So we were in Hong Kong and Thailand. And I experienced things there that I thought, you know, if I could do anything for the rest of my life, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so since then, I've been here in Salem training youth and releasing them into missions. We really believe there's two big crises, right? There's an unactivated youth and an unreached world. There's most adults don't know what they're here for.
Right.
You know, and if we were just to activate them and train and equip them, then I think the world would really look different. And that's true for us here. And so, yeah, maybe I'm one of those missionaries. We have about 35 internationals on our staff team here in Salem. I guess all of us would be missionaries to this area.
That's incredible to me. And you are really spot on with where we're at in our world right now. We really have an identity crisis.
Right.
We don't know whose we are and who we are.
Right.
You know, and when we get those two questions answered in our life, that we're made in the image of Christ and that we're his kids, and our responsibility is to love him back and to make him known, right, as you had talked about. And then we could do anything, really, when we have those questions answered. And I love what you're doing. I think it's important that our listeners understand what a great resource we have right in our community, right in our backyard, along Battle Creek Drive, right?
Right on Battle Creek Road there, mm-hmm. between Salem and Turner.
And about how big is this campus?
I mean, we had about 32 acres,
incredible.
Just physical space,
mm-hmm.
but we train about 140 missionaries a year.
Wow. And is it a one-year program?
We do everything in 3 to 6 month segments.
Okay.
Because we really don't just want people to have information. We want them to apply it and apply it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of us probably experience, you go to college, you get a 3-4 year degree, and by the end of it, you forgot a lot of what you learned, and some of it you will never apply.
Mm-hmm.
So our philosophy is do intensive 3 months and then go apply that, mm-hmm. and then come back if you would like for more of the same.
I love it. I love it. We're going to have more discussion after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this October 1st. Can you believe it? We're already in the fall season. We'll be back after this. News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacy Ann. So glad to be along with you on this first day of October. And boy, we are so excited to continue on. We're going to do 2 hours starting today, and excited about hanging out with you and getting your morning started. And we are actually looking for elements and things that will add to the value of the morning show. And so I continue to ask for your feedback. And I'm so thankful to each and every one of you that send me news articles and insights and things, events that are going on in the community. I want to get out and about. So if there's things that you're doing with your church, your nonprofit organization, you have an outreach, I'd love to participate. In fact, tonight there's going to be something at the Volcano Stadium that I just found out about. There's going to be kind of a celebrating survivors of cancer, and I don't have all of the details. In fact, if someone has a little more details about it, you know, you could call in and tell me about it. But there's wonderful activities going on tonight, and I'm getting information all the time. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news. I'd love to participate and love to get you in the studio and talk about what's going on. As we continue the conversation this morning, I've got Samuel in the studio with me. He is the director and CEO of Youth with a Mission right here at the Salem, Oregon base. And Samuel, there's several bases across the world. How many, do you know the number?
Well, it's tough because we've grown so much over the last 60 years, but we have far over 1,000 ministry locations now.
Incredible.
And about 190 nations.
Now, I have to say, I poked around over the last 30 years thinking maybe I just need to have a reset and go and be a participant in Youth with a Mission. And that base in Hawaii looks really promising.
There are several, but Kona, Hawaii, yes, is kind of the mothership for us. Yeah.
I have to be honest, you know, that's one place I have not been is Hawaii. And I'm sure that getting into that school or in that base maybe is a little bit of a challenge because others feel the same. But wherever you're called to, I know it's beautiful. And I remember how beautiful the campus was, you know, 30 years ago. I can't imagine the growth and the development here in the Salem campus. Now, we talked a little bit that you're from Germany and you moved here. Tell me a little bit about your American experience, because that's a big change. You have been to America before.
Right.
And you, how did you get to America the previous time? What did you?
Yeah, so the very first time was I was a teenager. My dad was leading Promise Keepers. Some of you may be familiar with Promise Keepers, men's kind of ministry, you know, and stadium style events. And so he took me for one of the events to New York. So that was about 2 weeks, and we did a little road trip after that. So that was my first taste before coming here.
What part of Germany were you at?
North of Frankfurt, so
okay.
Pretty central.
And were you fluent in English growing up?
Well, you know, I had English in school, but to be quite honest, I was terrible in school. So I think my English teachers, they wouldn't believe it, you know, that my whole life is in English now,
yeah,
you know. So
that's excellent. Well, Germany is some place I would like to go to, and I'm sure going from that culture to this culture, what did you find similar, different, a challenge to come to America?
I mean, the first thing, you know, is language is always culture. Like, you know, the words you choose, they are more than just their literally translated meaning. And specifically when it came to emotions and when it came to humor, that was tough for me coming at first. My wife's American, so that really helped. Yeah, steep growth curve,
yes.
But it helped, you know, acclimize and kind of integrate very quickly. And then this community out at Youth with a Mission is just amazing because there's so many internationals. All of us kind of go through the same culture shock.
Right.
You know, totally overwhelmed when you go into Walmart. Like, you can't even buy shampoo because in Germany you might have like 4 or 5 different kinds. There you go in and you're just like, there's a whole shelf. I don't know what to buy. I don't know. It's, you know, just overwhelmed with the sheer mass, you know, of things, of the land, going on a road trip, driving for hours and hours, not seeing anything. I mean, that's just something that doesn't exist.
Have you been to South Dakota? Because that's what it's like there.
I have once, you know, and it's amazing. I mean, even just flying for an international, flying over America for European, it's just fascinating. What an amazing country we live in here.
So you have 3 children. Talk to me a little bit about your family and your wife.
I have a 7-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 6-month-old.
Oh.
Yeah. So she was born in the first week while Salem Hospital was kind of trying to still figure out, can we have visitors,
know,
bring midwives in or not, you know, that kind of thing. So
were you able to be in there with her?
Well, I was in there, and I think they never moved away from that one support person.
Okay.
But we had a doula, and she was, but then the next day she wouldn't have been.
Oh.
So we kind of came in right there at the end.
Oh, answered a prayer right there. And so three children, and you're active, and you live right there on campus.
We do.
As well. And what I remember is such an amazing community because the dorms are there and all the training, and you live and you work. So the plan is, let's talk a little bit about the plan. Someone signs up to come. They make an application. Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what I remember is you get sponsors, right? You get people to sponsor you on your mission. Is that correct?
Yeah, not just the students, we as well. So none of us, I don't get a salary in the traditional sense paid by the organization. So that really has allowed us to grow.
Mm-hmm.
We have churches, friends, family members that all just believe in what we do. And so they say, yeah, I'm in for $50 or whatever it might be a month. And so it's the same philosophy for students as for staff.
I love that setup. I love how that works. And we're going to get into that after this break, because I think that there's a way that you can multiply your efforts when you have people investing in you. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, and there are some activities going on this weekend. I want to remind everybody, on Sunday, the Life Change chain is going to take place this Sunday. And we're going to talk a little bit about this on the second hour. But mark your calendar, 2:30 to 3:30 this Sunday, Lancaster Drive and also Broadway and Liberty and First Street in Staten. We're going to hit this pretty hard. The second hour, of course, 40 Days for Life as well, taking place right now up until the 1st of November, Standing Strong for Life. And it's important that we stand together and stand for life. And I want to say again, if you have a community service, something coming up that you want to share, we want to partner and put in our community calendar. Send it to us at stacy@kslm.news. And also, if you're a business that's looking at wanting to promote your business and you're thinking, you know, I want to be a sponsor of that second hour of the morning show, I'd love to visit with you. You know, send me information. We'll get together and I'll tell you how that all works. Thankful to our business sponsors. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Thursday. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I want to give a shout out to those of you listening online, streaming at KSLM.news. And I know you're listening in Arkansas, South Dakota, Texas, wherever you're listening. Thank you for tuning in. And maybe now, because we have connections to Youth with a Mission, we'll get some international listeners. Wouldn't that be fun? So glad to have Samuel in the studio with me today with Youth with a Mission. He's a CEO and director. And Samuel, I am so mission-minded in my heart. And it starts right here in our backyard, right?
Right.
Terry and I, we love to go treasure hunting. We love to go, not for stuff, you know, although that's fun, looking for antiques and things like that and treasures that way. We really like to go find people.
Right.
And connect with them and find out their stories and build bridges and find out and learn more about ourselves by learning about other people's stories. And that's, I think, the cool thing about the show is that now we know each other and our network has just grown, right? And we can help each other more. And when we talk about what's going on in our world right now and the pandemic and even the role of the church, right? Church in America, as we've known it, has changed in the last 6 months.
Yeah, it has.
And it's really stirred the pot to think about doing it outside of the box, and people are doing things online and all of that. But I'm sad because I think community has been lost in that isolation. What are you seeing, and what has how has the pandemic affected YWAM locally and then internationally?
Well, I mean, of course, it's affected us in much of the same way as everyone else. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about the economic impact, when you talk about travel restrictions, I can't remember a time since I've been 18 that I haven't been on a plane for as long as I haven't now. Like, get me out of Salem. Like,
right.
I love my city, but I'm made to travel and meet people across the world. And so that had huge opportunities, though, you know, shifting towards more local engagement, even more than we have 8 ministries that kind of full-time minister to our cities, the city ongoingly. But, you know, that allowed us to have the capacity to be down at the state fairgrounds, talking with people, praying for people, encouraging people, you know, and those kind of things that usually our missionaries would have been overseas. Now they are here. Many of them are here. So, but yeah, as far as church, I mean, you're right. The whole COVID thing really has intersected itself between every relationship that you have, whether mm-hmm. that's family, whether that's church, whether that's business, just kind of something that breaks down community. And I think that's disastrous.
Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about your 8 ministries that you have going on, tell us a little bit more about that.
So we serve, one of them would be in partnership with Salem for Refugees. One of them, you can see the gospel-focused ministries downtown sometimes, you know, just having meaningful conversation with people about what really matters in life, what matters after life, mm-hmm. as well. We have a chaplain for a NASCAR series. We're in the prison with addictive behavior and anger management courses. So there's a variety of other things that we do, international student ministry, that we have done for many years, you know, that kind of goes alongside the training aspect of youth and equipping them for their life.
I love it. And so if someone was thinking, you know, I'm in a reset or a transition in my own life, and like, for example, myself, if I was like, I'm 50, 51,
yeah.
and I'm like, I want to do this, but I'm not a youth anymore. You know, is there an age limit in getting involved and in going through your training and all of that?
No, absolutely not. But you do have to like youth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't stand young people, then you probably should find yourself a different organization.
Mm-hmm.
But we have staff between 18 and 80,
right.
you know, years of age. And I think that's huge, like multi-generational is what we need. We need parents, we need grandparents, we need people that have walked the walk for decades that can kind of help us to figure out what it looks like for our lives. You know,
right.
it's just 18 to 25-year-olds often ends up being the blind leading the blind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that doesn't bring transformation to anyone's life.
Well, and I know that even this class, the class that you have online,
right.
you're going to launch on. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's one of the things that came out of COVID for us. You know, we want to be in person as much as we can, but we did launch a course. It's called Commission the City, together with several other YWAM ministries. Starts October 5th. You can go to just on our Facebook page, Commission the City Salem, Oregon, and message us there, sign up. And that's really, it's really our core program, the Discipleship Training School, in a nutshell. It's
mm-hmm.
just online-based, 4 hours a week. You have a small group where you get to process with people kind of what's happening in your life and receive amazing teaching. And the whole thing is meant to help you understand what your role is in society where you are right now. We believe if you are, you know, 14, if you're, you know, or 50,
mm-hmm.
and as in your case, you're meant to make a difference in your society. You're not just a bystander. So let's equip you for that, and let's commission you to really reach the city.
The beautiful thing about, I know in the Bible says, be ready in season and out of season, right?
Right.
And it says that we need to continue to learn and equip ourselves. And when I went to India in 2013, it totally upended my whole life. And I got to see community and church, and it was in an oppressive, very tough community where Christianity is not accepted very well. And yet it was this pastor and his family caring for the forgotten.
Right.
The ones that were, because of their religion, they believe, Hindu religion believes, if you help those the lepers or the orphans or the widows, then you're actually going to make their future life, because they believe in that reincarnation, worse. So they just neglect them, thinking
right.
they're helping them. It's just twisted and very evil. And I know I needed to, I mean, it upended me and it messed me up in a good way, that all of the stuff that I thought I knew about religion, about Christianity, mm-hmm. I was like, no, that's not what it's all about, you know. And it got me back into the Word to really read about the Church of Acts and how we are to be a community. We are to be learning from one another. We need to be more compassionate, right? And more
right.
understanding, and yet speak the truth in love, right? And that's
right.
what you're doing. You're equipping these students, right?
Yeah, well, that's the aim. I really think that you have the greatest impact where you have the deepest roots, which just is locally. So you got to practice locally what you desire to see for the world. You know, if you don't change neighborhoods, then at the end of the day, you're not going to change a nation. You know, so as much as we will continue to go overseas, that's what our heartbeat is for. The authority of making an overseas impact really comes from local engagement.
Mm-hmm. And so locally, you're equipping and training, almost like a boot camp, right?
Right.
To go out into the nations, but yet you're ready to serve right locally. Talk to me a little bit of what you saw down at the state fairgrounds after the fire. What kinds of things were you experiencing in the humanity level, these families that are facing? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, many of us have probably seen and maybe stood back and marveled at this community. I mean, it really is incredible how people have come together in time of great need.
Mm-hmm.
Man, 2020, what a year.
Mm.
You know, what's next kind of thing.
Right.
So I think similar to you, you know, we want to talk about the things that are life-giving, that are positive. We are bombarded with the negative stuff all day. You know, and some of the things that I saw was just the great generosity of people. I saw great collaboration between the different entities
mm-hmm.
that at times can kind of run in their own lane only, you know,
mm-hmm.
but really came great together in great partnership. I mean, saying no to donations because there were just too many of
Whoa.
Them, you know, I mean, that's amazing. And so what our piece was just to be at the end of the food line, you know, where you pick up your donations, just being there available to pray for people, encourage people. And so one time I just took a little stroll through the fairgrounds, and at every table there was a young Wyomer sitting with a family, you know, a group
mm-hmm.
of people, just listening to their story, because I think that's what has to happen as
right.
well in trauma. You know, you
right.
have to share your story and
mm-hmm.
your loss and your fears
mm-hmm.
and have a voice that then brings hope and hopefully points you towards there is a future. Let's work together to see that realized.
In where your camp is and where your school is, it's in the middle of the forest, more or less, right?
Right.
Were you guys under any evacuation?
No, we weren't. Some of our staff were kind of in that phase too, you
mm-hmm.
know. But I mean, praise God, it kind of stopped in some ways. Our heart breaks for the communities that lost everything.
Sure.
You know, and trying to figure out what it looks like to rebuild that. But we actually reached out to the county and said, if you need an evacuation site, we are ready to receive people. We are
nice.
Ready to open our facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone would, you know, just get tighter together, you know, so
mm-hmm.
that we can make room for those that need a site to sleep at. And then parallel to that, I made our own evacuation plans, because you kind of didn't know there for a week, you know,
right.
which way we would go.
Where are you going to go with
so,
your folks?
So we
yeah.
extended that as well as made our own plans. You know, none of that happens, so that's good.
What kind of opportunity for the community? Do you hold church services there regularly where people can come in? What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, during the COVID time, we don't, but usually, and we're not a local church.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us is part of a local church. We really want that partnership. But we do have frequent worship services that people can attend if they
mm-hmm.
would like, prayer services that people can come to. We also like to grow our local volunteer body
mm-hmm.
where everyone can just come in, you know, a couple of hours a week. I mean, we have a lot that needs to get done, just like any camp, so to speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so That would free up our full-time staff to really take care of the things that only longer-term staff could do,
right?
Which would be fantastic. So that's a huge way to just get around youth, get around us, and just help, you know, with whatever is needed.
So if someone wanted to get more involved in the community, maybe they didn't want to go through the program,
right,
but they want to be supportive, how would they do that? Is there a through your website, or how would they?
The easiest way is to email volunteer@yramsalem.org, but our website, yramsalem.org, as well, is a great resource.
Okay. And I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward. I can't wait to see the campus after, you know, 30 years or whatever. I think that's pretty amazing. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're going to go take this break. We'll be back after this. Thanks for tuning in. News Talk Radio, KSLM. Enjoying a wonderful conversation this morning. Thank you for tuning in. We are talking with the Director of Youth with a Mission right here in Salem. And Samuel, we're so glad to have you on the show this morning, and thank you for taking the time. And, you know, as we talk about the impact of the fires and COVID-19 in our community, and really what you guys do at the mission there is equip to be ready in season and out of season, just ready to go, whether it be in our own backyard or internationally.
Right.
And haven't had the opportunity to travel, and I've been to Israel, I've been to India, I've gone to Canada, Mexico. My heart really is, Terry and I have a heart for the Mexican people. We have the Hispanic culture we love and are drawn to, and I'm not sure what this is going to look like in the future, but we could see ourselves being there part of the year even, or maybe even when we retire full time.
Yeah,
and so if we wanted to go and get training from you guys, you would equip us on how to embrace a different culture, right? Because we're so
right.
Americanized in our thought process, and we think, you know, it should be like that when we get there. That's just human nature, right?
Right.
And we realize, ooh, it is nothing like that. And you shared off the air a little bit about even your work that you've done in Thailand,
right?
And how you almost have to debrief yourself
mm-hmm.
because of what you see.
Mm-hmm.
And if our listeners have had an opportunity to travel to another country, or even say in parts of South Dakota, in Pine Ridge Reservation is
right.
the most impoverished county
right.
in the whole country of the United States.
Yeah, my wife went and did some ministry
mm-hmm.
there as well.
And when you see the conditions that these people are living mm-hmm. in, and you think not possible, but then you drive down Market Street, Salem, and even on the parkway last night, I was going to a meeting mm-hmm. in Kaiser, and you see people camped
right. yeah.
in public land, and you're thinking, I'm thinking, how is this even possible? This
yeah.
is in America. I don't get it, you know, and it's like there is opportunity
mm-hmm.
to show compassion and love everywhere we go, isn't
right.
there?
Right, right. Yeah, I think it's important to understand to what end, you know, do we do acts of compassion
mm-hmm.
so that we don't create an unhealthy dependency. And I think that happens too often, you
mm-hmm.
know, is that we don't actually lead people into sustainable life, but we lead them, we just, you know, they start to live off of handouts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so especially as missionaries who have been, you know, criticized in the past of doing exactly that overseas,
mm-hmm.
I just don't see that a lot anymore. I mean, yes, it did exist, and it probably still does, but I think most of us have learned pretty quickly that really what we need is to change the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like we always say, well, a poor person, that's a bad person. If you just get them rich, they're still a bad person. They're just going to use whatever you give them,
mm-hmm.
you know, for more rotten fruit, you know,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does it look like to really reach the heart, the mind, the soul, as well as the physical body of someone, you know, when we look at our homeless here in Salem, it needs more. It takes more than just giving them handouts. And I think our nonprofits here in town that address that really understand that.
Well, and you put a Band-Aid on a situation,
yeah, exactly,
when you don't get to the heart of the issue. And it really is. There is something to just giving a man a fish or teaching him how to get
right.
it for himself. I mean, that I know that's an old analogy, but it's so practical. And a lot of it is met with what's their initiative and what's their reason. And I know when I worked in it as an intern in San Francisco with the homeless, I had a real epiphany one day as I was walking down the Haight-Ashbury, and I was a poor college student intern. I was there, I was working for my room and board, okay? Mm-hmm. I didn't have a source of income. And so if I had a couple dollars, it's because I babysat for one of the
right.
staff's kids, you
right.
know? And I remember walking along the Haight-Ashbury, having a couple dollars and probably quarters in my pocket, and having a homeless man ask me for change, and feeling bad that I passed him by because I knew I needed that to
right.
get lunch or whatever I was doing. And I'm thinking, like, I was struggling. And I went
right.
to the mission director, and he said, if it's in your heart to do it, do it.
Right.
If it's not, don't.
Right.
And I thought, wow, that really, that was eye-opening for me. And I think it's important that I think there's so much passion in our youth today. They want to do something. There's a lot, and that's why
yeah.
we're seeing what's
yeah.
happening down in Portland in the streets, and they want to be just in the social justice cause.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, that's what it is. You know, it's this generation wants to make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And so do we give them healthy avenues to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, they will go to unhealthy avenues to
exactly.
make an impact.
Exactly.
You know, whatever promises change, we just believe that the only true change comes through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in my family's life. And I could testify all day long and probably all week long and the rest of my life to it. And I love the mission of YWAM. And I wonder what kind of impact has this COVID had financially on your ministry?
Mm.
And what is your greatest need right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's been... So there's a couple of things. You know, one of the ministries we run that the city of Salem is more familiar with is our Salem Ropes course.
Mm.
And so we usually have about 4,500 people that come, a lot of them through the school district. Many of them, the only time that they receive encouragement is on one of those days, you know, where we teach them teamwork, communication, risk assessment. We work with a lot of businesses. We work with the police force. We just recently did a minority group meet law enforcement event, you know, that we sponsored, where we can just start building collaboration and trust in some
mm-hmm.
of these areas of high tension in our society right now. And we're operating, by the end of the year, we're probably going to be, if we get lucky, at 15%.
Whoa.
You know, and so that doesn't really cover even the insurance you need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's operational need like that. But our community really stepped up. We ran a fundraiser, and if you'd like to contribute to that, that would be amazing. But we ran a fundraiser recently that has met a large portion of our operational need thus far. But then looking at the fall, you know, this thing isn't ending.
Mm.
And so all of our programs, you know, are probably around 50%. While the overhead and the fixed expense don't really change.
Mm-hmm. And that's what people are facing, and a lot of the nonprofits are
yeah.
facing all over the country. And again, just like the generosity of the fires, you know, we've
right.
been so isolated through COVID. You stay away from each other, you know, stay in your homes, don't even get together for Labor Day, you know, or Memorial Day, celebrate 4th of July,
yeah.
everybody
yeah.
stay to yourself, and then the fire happens and everybody responds, and all of a sudden we're coming together. Together
right.
and we're helping one another, and community is happening once more. And as bad as the fire was, the beauty from the ashes of that is that we're connecting again, and people are really helping one another. And that's what it's all about, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I hope it's not just going to be something that's like one and done. You know, I think this is the time to come together. I think 2020 has shown us that we really need each other, and that
yes.
one plus one indeed can be 5 or 10,
mm-hmm.
Rather than just 2, you know, when we work in symbiotic relationships and kind of put away some of our differences mm-hmm. so that we can come together for what unites us and really have a great impact.
We're keeping the momentum going. What is your website again?
YWAMSalem.org.
YWAMSalem.org. Thank you for spending the morning with me this morning.
Yeah, it's so good.
We're going to go into hour two here right around the corner. We have some more guests to introduce you to. Thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio. We'll be back about 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm excited. Going into hour two. Remember, over, under, around, or through. You and I, we're overcomers. Be blessed.